Welcome to GamerCast. This is episode 73. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul. And this is being broadcast live
on the
27th of May, 2007.
I apologize for me coughing, sneezing, having to blow my nose, or creaky voice. I'm ill. Sorry.
If you hadn't said that, probably nobody would have noticed.
No, but a few people who are listening live, who've been listening on our pre-creation of the episode for the last half an hour, are wondering what the weird noises were, and it was me blowing my nose. So, just in case people start freaking out, and it means that if they're expecting it, you don't have to edit out me blowing the nose now and again. Just leave it in there. They can listen to me.
If you're going to do something, let me know, and I can pause it.
Make a large noise as I blow the snot from my nasal passages.
Dude, that's not something I want to picture.
Mucus. Right. Let's kick this orange ball down the hill and get it rolling.
Okay, we don't have much in the way of
letters or feedback.
Let's just check on the forums. Zippo. So yeah, no feedback this week. Which is good, it means I get to go straight into and start ranting about whatever I was going to rant about.
Yeah.
Right, basically this is a rant about extended warranties. Don't you start doing that in the middle of my rant.
Go for it.
Okay, basically a lot of retailers in the UK, this only applies to the UK and most of Europe. In America, you're just screwed because you've got no protection laws to speak of. It's really ridiculous. Right, but basically, in the UK, a retailer has to ensure the goods you've bought from them are of a quality that you expect. And that your rights for that last for 6 years in the UK and 5 years in Scotland. That's just a regional thing. So basically, all these retailers selling you extended warranties like £50 a pop for an extra 2 years are selling you something they're legally obligated to give you anyway. Because you're entering into a contract with them and the contract states they need to ensure that the goods are suitable and that they work. It's simple. And I'm just so annoyed of all these have this thing called game care now. And it's just so dumb.
So what is game care?
It's an extended warranty with an accidental damage clause which entitles you to one repair or replacement of the product within that amount of time. So for example, you get a Nintendo DS, if you drop it and it breaks, you get another one. But if you drop it again, that's it, hard cheese. So it's limited like that. But basically, when you purchase some items like a games console, you enter into a contract with the retailer, not the manufacturer, because people say, oh, blah blah blah, iPhone Microsoft and blah blah blah, blah iPhone Nintendo, blah blah blah. And the contract you enter with the retailer is governed by the Sale of Goods Act 1979 and the amendments, which say you're entitled to expect the goods to be of satisfactory quality, which means they should be free of faulty manufactured faultiness, like packing up for no reason, like no abuse, and that lasts for 6 years basically, so that they need to stop doing it because it's a ripoff.
Imagine a lot of these places are completely unaware of the people that are selling it to you.
Well yeah, I mean if you take the sales monkey at your typical shop, he doesn't know frack all. You know, I'm constantly having to go on about my colleagues about refunding things. They seem to think store policy is law. It isn't. Store policy is a load of made-up crap. The law is the law. Okay? Law is the law, man.
Yeah,
it's
I agree.
Judge Dredd.
I am the law. I love it when Sylvester Stallone says that, because I watched it drunk and I thought he said he is of the law. Just reminded me of the Pink Panther. I am an officer of the law.
Yeah, that isn't Judge Dredd. I don't break the law. I am the law.
I have that on DVD. It rocks.
I have it on a file.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically, for those people saying, oh, the retailers will never budge, blah, blah, blah. Basically, what's been happening lately is, with the 360s going wrong.
Yeah, like me.
Because a few percent of them has gone wrong. The ones that are outside the manufacturer's warranty, Microsoft charged you, I think it's £90 for a repair. Right? So basically what happens is they get that done, and then you send a nice little letter to wherever you bought it from. And you quote out the sections of the Sale of Goods Act, namely Section 14. And people have been successfully getting checks from these from the retailers to pay for the repair.
That's good.
It's happened to two people I know on various internet forums who wrote a letter to Comet head office, you know, quoted the relevant passages and such and such. But yeah, I mean, if you go into a store, if you talk to the frontline staff, they're just, you know, they don't have a clue. They're just, you know, brought up to believe that company policy is the law, when it's not the law. It's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
It's so annoying as well, because, you know, blah, 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 extended warranty. And, you know, just think how many people bought PS2s. When they shouldn't, you know, the retailer should have paid for all that.
The annoying thing is that, especially being an employee, you get shoved to the bottom of the rung for stuff. But it's like, with something going wrong, like with release of it, of 360, I had to go back to the manufacturer because the people I bought it off wouldn't replace it because they had none in stock and were willing not to give me one that came in stock because it was for someone who hadn't had one. So they were always giving them to someone new, or they could always sell.
Yeah, they're
So you always get shoved to the bottom rung with released consoles. Can I imagine anybody who I don't know of any faulty Wii's, but they I know that
they've we've had faulty Wii's,
but obviously the person's not going to get a replacement
because the company should do it
because they haven't gone in stock. But yeah, I must admit, manufacturer, good. I must admit, Microsoft were absolutely amazing first time round,
especially the time they didn't pick up your faulty console and you've still got it and now you're actually using it because you've got it working.
Yeah,
yeah, it's great. I got a free 360.
It's gone past the warranty of Kane anyway. So
doesn't matter, 6 years.
Yeah.
Although it doesn't matter now because you didn't actually pay for it because you refunded it.
But
so you terminated the contract.
Yeah. So they can't ask
which
for
is
back.
Your right under the Sale of Goods Act of 1979 plus amendments.
Yeah. I took it back and I got all my money back. I wasn't happy. The only thing they wouldn't give me my money back on was my wireless dongle for the 360 and my
they should have done that as well.
They said they wouldn't be willing to give me the money back for those because, well, I couldn't understand the wireless dongle, but the hard drive was because it had been used and there was nothing wrong with it.
The hard drive can be restored to factory settings,
but I traded that in. But the USB dongle for the wireless I never traded in because that's still stuck in the back of my Xbox 360 back of the flat anyway, so I kept it because I knew eventually I'd be getting another one. Oh, black Xbox 360 Elite looks like September. So it looks like it should be coming out similar time as Halo. So it should be out for Halo.
Halo free bundle.
Yeah, I won't be surprised. Although I am going to be going for the black Elite by itself because I'm going to get Halo 3 with the helmet. Master Chief helmet. It's only large enough to fit on a cat's head. I need to buy a cat. Put it in some armor with some toilet rolls. You put the Master Chief on. Is it going around?
Dude, don't interrupt my rant.
Okay.
So yeah, basically, if a company tries to sell you an extended warranty, which only covers manufacturer's fault, and frack off, because the retailer has to do it anyway. It's their legal obligation. And if they can't do it, you're entitled to a partial refund if you've had the product for like several years. So you know you have had some use out of it. You're entitled to a partial refund or a full refund. Or the retailer has to sort it out for you.
Sweet.
So yeah, for those people who've actually had faulty 360s, who've gone to Microsoft for a repair, contact the retailer, write to the head office, quote the Sale of Goods Act, and try and get a check out from the cover for it. As retailers, you know, you often, especially with retailers that aren't specialists. Like,
yeah, if you bought a 360 from WH Smith or something like
that.
Yeah,
they tell you, oh, we don't deal with that. Go to Microsoft. Sorry. We didn't buy it from Microsoft. We bought it from you. We gave you the money. You know, that really annoys me. especially because the stupid staff in the things don't actually know anything.
Yeah, it. A lot of people try to get plates like Woolworths and WHMS for 360s and were successful, but fair enough, we're not saying go to game or whatever, but
be the a little game won't help you. Game will replace it in the manufacturer's warranty, but if it's outside of that, they'll just say, "What? Sorry, it's a year's guarantee." Mm. Sorry, Sale of Goods Act entitles this product to last for a reasonable amount of time.
End of story. Harsher before they weren't
a 280 quid console, nobody would expect to last 18 months. Everyone, I mean, my math system still works, 80 quid. And so on, you know, it's ridiculous.
It's getting to the point where you these things
you need
feel
the
more
revolution,
breakable.
Comrade. We need to wipe out the filth of capital and, you know, win.
You did it.
Win big time.
Well, you did it, dude.
Did what?
You did it in Russian accent without going into Jamaican.
It was Jamaican.
No, you actually did Russian
this
accent.
This is Jamaican.
No, that's Jamaican. Now you're doing it. You're thinking about it. But then you did a Russian accent. Brought to you here at Gamercast. Russian accent by Paul. Welcome to Moscow.
Your man, that is good, yeah?
Come to Red Square, we give you vodka. We chop up squad on them.
Yeah, come to Red Square, where all the Nazis were out the other day beating up all the gay protesters.
There were gay protesters in Red Square?
No, the gay march. Well, it wasn't in Red Square itself, but it was a gay march in Moscow.
And Nazis beat them up?
Yeah. Yeah, what's his name? The, What's his name? Peter Tatchell was there, and so was Right Said Fred, and they were beaten up by the Nazis.
In other words, skinheads with Nazi
flags. You know, Russian nationalists. They need to have some Red Army tanks run them over. Eat that, Adolf. Right. Let's do the Halo 3 thing now, because that's.
We're gonna lose people.
We need to interrupt it, man.
Yeah, because you'll have another rant going. Okay, Halo 3 beta. We haven't been playing it, but we know
we haven't been playing it because nobody's given us a free code. People with Crackdown, give us your codes.
Yeah.
Or don't give it to Adam because he can't use it. Give it to me.
Yeah, because I haven't got a hard drive to be able to play the beta.
Oh.
So, while I was talking to
the Revolution Comrade
Pete, and he was
Strasvi Tavarishki.
Yes.
Four lots of hello, comrade. Okay. Get on with it, dude.
Yes, sorry. I was listening.
I was listening to myself think.
Yes, I was thinking out loud. No, my brain hurts. Pop. I'm ill. I'm very slow today.
Just get on with it, man. We don't have all day.
Halo 3 beta. It seems to be going well. A friend of ours, Pete, has finally received his code. Didn't believe it.
His gamer tag is shopping tub. Feel free to add him and annoy him. P.S. I didn't say that. Adam did.
He went on, had a good go with it. He was very impressed. A lot of the gadgetry that you get now, because they're pushing for the whole single weapon with a grenade sort of thing going on.
So like it used to be before they wrecked it with dual wielding. Two SMGs in
there. They're fighting with the... assault rifle on Halo 2 was causing a lot of problems because no one really wanted to use it, so everybody was using dual weapons until they found something large. In doing so, it meant that the concept of throwing grenades and melee attack was being taken away from the game. So they've gone back to this by using the assault rifle, the MA5C, from Halo.
ICWS.
And this is allowing you to use melee attack and a range of grenades. The grenades are now been shortened to only two per type of grenade. Originally it was four per type of grenade, but there were only two types of grenade. The Covenant and the Marine grenade.
You had a grenade and you had a plasma grenade.
Yeah. Now you'll have grenade, plasma grenade.
Holy flare!
I don't know what has been set up there with the rest of them where they're sat, but I know that you've got the trip mine, you'll have the shield grenade, you have this device that drains all energy out of
other people's shields.
Yeah, so you can throw it at a group and all their shields will shut down. If you're close to it, it'll even shut yours down if you're not careful. There's a brute, massive, like World War II type grenade with sticks sticking out of it.
It looks like a, you know, what they called? the German stick grenades.
Yeah, with lots of spikes sticking out of it, so you can...
So yeah, a German stick grenade plus spikes.
Yeah, so that can stick into armor, so any of the vehicles and armor of Spartan or Elite, and boom, which is quite cool. Fair enough, people are going like, well, what about plasma grenades? Do the same thing, but I don't know, I think this has got a bit more of a throw-in action, and is quite cool. What else is...
holding 48 spikes per magazine. Is that the... that's the gun net. So this is the new... the Brute Spiker.
Yeah.
Type 25 carbine. It's favoured by the Brutes and is based on the native pre-Covenant technology. All of its technology is the rapid-firing razor-sharp projectiles can tear through armour and flesh with ease.
And there's the Brute Spike Grenade. A Spartan can now carry up to 3 different types of grenades. Cycle through these by selecting the left...
the left button.
Left shoulder button. On the control. A new grenade for the Spartan arsenal is the Brute Spike Grenade.
A primitive
and deadly explosive device that impales on any target and holds tight until it explodes, and it shred hells of razor-sharp metal. If you hear a satisfying wet thwack when you probably just stuck to your target, and remember, amusing to watch it go off.
Boom.
So it's not just a fact it's going to blow that up, it's going to fire out shrapnel, so if you see some guy running towards you and he's got one of these stuck in the back of his head, it's probably do you damage as well as blowing his head off. So that's quite cool.
Well, it would be cool. It would be cool if they modelled the shrapnel with physics, rather than just having, you know, a radius which stuff gets damaged. If you actually have projectiles, like physical in the world projectiles coming out.
I think they should be able to do that because.
No, they can definitely do that. It's a question if they do that.
Yeah, because look at the needler, where you see all the needles flying everywhere, ricocheting off everything.
I liked that gun, it was good.
They
wrecked it in Halo 2.
Double needler.
They tried to make it too normal of a weapon.
Mm. Like, before, you just pummel loads of people with the needles and then they bang and explode.
Well, before, you would just, you know, shoot the needles in the rough general direction and it would take a long time to kill them, but it would do it. Mm. And you wouldn't have to aim, so you wouldn't have to worry about lag and all that. With the new one, they made it like rapid fire in a much more focused area and made them explode much quicker, which was, you know, dumbing it down, in my opinion.
So yeah, Pete was telling me about that. He threw one in the back of someone's head and watched him run over a brow of a hill, and then he reappeared as he went shooting up in the air. He said that was very nice. Portable grab lifts. People have seen on some of the levels there are grab lifts now instead of teleporters, so you've seen
basically
people...
they're like the bouncy jump pads in Quake 3.
Part of these are part of the level, so there was one level where you're being shot from one base to the other and you can either shoot people while you're going up and you can shoot people out of the sky while they're flying. The portable ones means you can carry these around, drop them, and you can create a
jumpy land,
a portable jump lift into an area you couldn't normally get into, so you can take a shortcut over a wall and then surprise attack. But the cool thing about it is people have been using these as weapons. The new Mongoose vehicle, which is
Mongoose, he's in the chat room.
An ATV quad bike, which has no weaponry on board. People have been throwing the portable lifts in front of the Mongoose, and it's been catapulting them over their heads, and then they shoot them as they fly by, which is quite cool. So it's turning into the point where you can use it as a defensive weapon because you're making someone go over a jump pad without them knowing that it's there because you throw them in straight away. Trip mines, he says, are quite cool, but he didn't go into too much detail about those. But it is looking incredibly cool for an arsenal of game. Oh,
it's interesting that it's got a few more, like, you know, Halo didn't really have any items before.
Yeah, it was just the guns that you had from single
play. The guns
play.
And grenades.
No, I must admit, I'm looking forward to it. The other thing that I like is the customization of the characters.
Yeah, that's a lot better nowadays.
Yeah, there's more stripes you can get on there. You can add a letter and a number, as well as your logo. So it means that people can still be different and be the same, so everyone can pick like the same color but have different style stripes and move them around, so whoever's in charge has this, and if you have the same logo but you can have a different number, so you can be able to distinguish between each other, as well as the writing that goes above your head, because it's the your gamer tag and everything shortened now and then extends longer as you look at a person and you get closer. So identification is quite cool now at a glance. He was saying that they've got the new update on the beta for the Banshees have been released. He said they're quite cool. One of the features which he said didn't need to be in the game, it's just an aesthetic piece, is that they've added
dinosaurs.
Levels to the higher of the maps. So when you're in a map with a Banshee, as you go up, you'll actually go through cloud cover. And where you normally look up in Halo maps and you see clouds in the sky, the higher you go up, eventually it just turns to space and you get like the arc of the atmosphere. And you can actually go all the way up and then come down. And when you look down, you can't see anything because you're above the cloud level. He said it doesn't do out for you, but it's aesthetically there so that you can go up through the clouds and
it's
then come
there
back
if
down.
You want to goof around.
The other advantage, I suppose, to it is the fact that you'd be able to go up out of sight and people could look up and they wouldn't be able to see where the Banshee is. You could fly along and then drop down and attack. So the other thing that is quite interesting, he said, before the Banshee came out, it was sat there as the Banshee, but it wasn't filled in. When you log in, it shows you all the equipment, and he said that that was greyed out, and it just said Banshee. And they were like, ooh, we'll get the Banshee. He said the thing that's greyed out at the moment that looks like they're going to be filling in is the Pelican. So there is a slim chance that the Pelican will be a playable vehicle in Halo 3 multiplayer.
What's it going to do though?
I don't know if it's going to be a smaller version or what, but
it would need to be some sort of Banshee equivalent Pelican.
Yeah, so it might be a Pelican model and it's like a smaller model, maybe carry two people in the back, or it might just be like an attack craft version of the Pelican. But I shall find out more later, see if he knows anything about it when it finally gets released. But it's nicer to bring the small stuff out for people to play with on the beta.
Yeah, if we just catch up with the chat room now. Mongoose wants to know if it's only coming out on 360. Xbox 360 is the only announced platform.
I wouldn't be surprised, like when Halo 2 finally got close to coming out, people were saying, when are we going to see a PC version? And
I mean, if there's going to be a PC version, it's going to be
a couple
of years at least.
The time frame between the jumps is quite large. We haven't even got Halo 2 on PC, and we're already talking about Halo 3 coming out. So, you know,
Well, it was the same with Halo 1 on PC.
Yeah.
Halo 1 on a PC came out this sort of time of year.
Just before.
On the year that Halo 2
came
out.
So, you never know. By the time we get Halo 3 on
I
the
think.
PC, we might be getting excited about the next Halo installment if it ever goes on.
But I mean, I think the main reason that Halo 2 is coming across is so they can use it to demonstrate the games for Windows Live platform.
Yeah, because I must admit, out of
If they weren't doing that, I don't think they would have bothered.
Yeah. Without all of the multiplayer for Xbox Live, because Halo wasn't
because the dinosaur came along and ate Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Halo 1 wasn't Xbox Live, so for having Halo 2 Xbox Live, everyone's played it, it's cool, it works really well with the system for getting everybody together for multiplayer, so it's a good game to use to demonstrate first person getting everyone together with Xbox Live, so it's going to be cool.
Okay, Chill says, yeah, they brought out Halo 2 to force people into Vista and DX10. Okay, well, Halo 2 on Windows Vista isn't a DirectX 10 game, it uses DirectX 9. The reason it's Windows Vista exclusive is because they're using that as sort of the prototype for future games for Windows Live games.
A Vista, the game that is being ported,
you know,
from a console to PC on a Vista operating system and using the Live system.
I mean, this is really the sample game which other developers look at to like emulate how the Live functionality works.
Mm. Instead of having to make a game that works on the previous operating system and will be compatible with Vista, this is something that's been designed for Vista with Live. DirectX 9, so people with Vista upgrade or Vista computer without the DirectX 10 graphics card will be able to use it. because you can make games that are compatible. Look, Supreme Commander is compatible with DirectX 10, but it will work DirectX 9.
It's not compatible with DirectX 10.
Isn't it?
It's a DirectX 9 game.
I thought Supreme Commander was going to be DirectX 10 for
There's talk of gas-powered games releasing a patch to make it use some, you know, DirectX 10 level shader stuff, but.
I thought, yeah, because I must admit, when we
that's still way out there.
Yeah, because when it was first coming out, we thought it was DirectX 10 for being able to use the extra screen or something like that. But it's all work.
Dude,
it's all work because you proved
Win32.
Yeah, you've proved
old school. Yeah, I actually found something out about the 360 the other day. It has Win32 in it.
Yeah.
It's not just the DirectX APIs. You've got all the Win32 APIs as well. Well, some of the Win32 APIs.
Oh, that's cool.
You don't have all of them. So that's good for development reasons. I think we need to set up our own developer shop and make some games.
Yeah, because haven't they released that stuff for the Xbox 360?
The XNA Express, XNA Studio Express.
For developing games.
Yeah, old school, mate. Release, done.
Cool. And that's for something you get for the PC and then you upload it, or is there something...
Well, yeah, you download XNA Studio Express... And it's basically a focused... It's similar to like Visual Studio Express, which are like basic versions of Visual Studio, like aimed at...
Beginner.
Amateurs.
Yeah.
And students. So it's sort of aimed at that market.
What sort of level of games are we talking can be built in this?
Well, you build it against the .NET framework, so you don't have the performance of, you know, running native code on the box. But... You know, you could do some fancy things.
What sort of level of game are we talking about? Are we talking up to Halo 1 quality, or are we just talking like stuff like Geometry Wars and
Geometry Wars? No problem. No, Halo. You could do a 3D engine, yeah, but you'd have to write your 3D engine.
Yeah, they won't give you a 3D engine.
Yeah, £250,000.
Yeah, it's a shame that you can't have any of like the Unreal Tournament engines and Quake engines. Pre-old ones become free available for people to develop games off.
Quake 1, 2, 3 are all open source now.
Right.
The engines, not the content, just the engines.
Right.
But it would be quite a lot of work to port one of those to the 360. It would be beyond what like a student or amateur who wasn't studying programming could do.
Yeah, so it's not you
would have to know C# to do it.
Yeah, to be able to get
all that. For a start, you'd have to convert the language from C# from C, which is what they're all written into C#.
Mm.
So that's a major thing to do.
So if you know what you're doing, you could do your own home hobby, but otherwise...
But the advantage is it runs on both platforms, because it's compiled against .NET rather than, you know, x86 or PowerPC. So it runs in an extraction layer from the hardware.
That's
so you're not
cool.
Running it on the metal.
I like the idea that they're allowing people to play around and be able to create games.
Well, yeah, but you do have to know how to program.
Yeah, unfortunately. But it's good for
shooting. Well, yeah, unfortunately. Well, how else are you going to do it? What, are they just going to give you like blocks, like Lego blocks?
Put it together.
Yeah, but you still need to write a lot of logic behind it.
Yeah. This does this, and it does this, and this does this.
But I mean, you know, future. There's they've released Popfly as a beta, which basically enables you to create like web gadgets really simply. Mm. I can't show you it because I don't have an invitation to it. How about an invitation? But yeah, basically you can take like a web service. Say for example, we've got the RSS feed on Gamercast. What we could do with that is we could tie that into a. We could output that onto a map, and any locations mentioned in the feed could be tied onto a map, and you basically do that by dragging the core components over and stuff like that. And if you want to like go in and then code behind them, you can, but you can also do it visually just by moving things around.
That's cool.
But to obviously make a 3D engine like that is the years away.
Yeah, incredibly.
You have to do the work.
Yeah. So it's feasible, but you'd have to know what you were doing.
Yeah, you have to know C#.
Yeah. So pretty much the same as someone going...
It would help if you had experience with DirectX as well. So yeah. Get all the like software development kits for that. get your teeth for all the documentation at msdn.microsoft.com and, you know, do all that.
Because I got C++ at home. And
you've got C++ what? Visual C++.
Yeah.
do, C++ is so old.
Well, that's what I mean. It was an old thing. I found it, a PC
C sharp now.
For creating,
who cares?
It was for creating video games, and it came with this book on how to create video games and a basic 3D engine to build a video game. And a video game had already been created in, and you could use the engine to build other video games. I couldn't figure it out for love nor money. I installed all the software, and it had all this DirectX stuff, and I was like, yay, click on it, and I couldn't figure out what to do. It had no instructions on how to start. You basically, you read the book cover to cover, which didn't have anything to
if
do with software.
If it's C++, you'll have to spend a lot of time doing it.
Yeah, and I just got bored of it.
Because at least with C# and .NET, it takes care of like stupid things like memory management, garbage collection, and all that things by itself.
Mm.
Oh yeah, before I get misquoted, C++ is old, but it's still used for the bulk of games simply because it's very performant. Performance is my new buzzword for very like performance friendly. Performant.
Performant.
Ooh, Achilles wants to know if you have to buy this at a store. It's free. If you go on Microsoft's website, you can download like all the Visual Studio Express editions. They're all free. XNA Studio Express is free. The only thing you have to pay for is if you want to put it to your 360, in which case you need to go on the marketplace and buy like an XNA members pack, and that allows you to run your own code on the 360. Otherwise, you can just run it on your PC for nothing.
Mm. So best way would be to just play around with it on your PC, and when you get everything working, then you can...
Well, yeah. The advantage with it is if it runs on your PC, it will run the same on the 360.
Yeah, so once you've got it going and you've got it working...
The same binary will run.
How do you get it across to the 360? Do you download it?
Network dummy.
So you just connect off the... Once you've got that hooked up, it will...
Yeah, once you've got the thing in the marketplace, you can push from the PC to the 360.
That's cool. So when the Elite comes out, even if you're not intending to get the Elite, I imagine that larger hard drive that's coming out that you can get would probably be very helpful if you're going to do that.
Well, I don't see the games being that big.
No?
No, because, I mean, if you think about it, how many people it takes to create a game which is like a gigabyte in size, that's frack loads of content.
Yeah, I suppose.
Just think of like 100 people working on the textures.
So would you be just pushing the game... It wouldn't be any of the code or anything, it would just be the game content that would go across as a finished game when you push across your 360. It wouldn't be all the other crap you've got on your PC. It would just be the...
Yeah, the whole thing would go over, but...
It wouldn't be that large.
I mean, this is one guy working on a game. It's a few megabytes. Unless he wants to, like, put, like, uber-quality sound in it, if he can, you know, if he knows how to do sound.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can download that from Microsoft.com. I think it's like $100 a year to be in the XNA club on Xbox. But the advantage with that is you can download other people's stuff from the internet.
Mm.
You can't... You need to transfer the source code. So you can't like send a binary to somebody or download a binary from your Xbox. You need to deploy it from the PC to the 360.
Mm.
So you basically download someone else's project and deploy it to your 360.
Yeah, there we go on that sort of thing. It's a good way, but I must admit, when I saw the thing advertised about it, it was very good because they were doing an interview with people who were at university doing this and studying it, and it was a good chance for them to actually have something similar to a dev box. You know, for the 360, you could have a small project and get on and
do it. Well, yeah, it is, you know, a scaled down version of what a professional developer working at a games company would be doing.
Mm.
Except a professional games company you'd be using tools which are hundreds of pounds per client, and you'd have hundreds of people working on the project.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It's a good idea, because you get it. You know, consoles have always been out of reach of people because it only runs signed code licensed by the console person.
Where PC is, you can get more open source stuff. So
it's not open source. You don't need a license to write PC applications because it's an open platform in that you don't need to go, hey Microsoft, can I write a game for this? Sure, give us £100,000 plus 5% of your sales.
Yeah. No, that's pretty cool, that. I like that.
Yeah, I'm knackered now.
Right.
Also in the news lately has been a lot of rubbish about the Venezuelan people fighting against the evil tyrants at RCTV. So this is just to reiterate, the GamerCast,
because they're meanies,
officially supports the position of the Venezuelan people against the meanies, not my word, of RCTV. So there, that's a public service announcement brought to you by Game Recast.
Woo!
Yeah.
We support the Venezuelan people in their struggle against tyranny and capitalism and all that stuff. Okay, Adam's going to go on about Pokemon now, so if you want to skip ahead 10 minutes, that's cool.
Yeah, skip ahead now. I like my Pokemon, it's cool. I only like the game. Yeah, I've just got myself an imported copy of Pokemon Diamond on the Nintendo DS. You got a sweetie. You got a drumstick, damn you.
I was saving this when you were going to go on about Pokemon.
Oh, cool. Keep you happy then, because you can shut up then. You can suck on your drumstick. Yeah, I've just started playing that. Very cool. I must admit, even if you know you don't like Pokemon or anything like that, from a gaming point of view...
From a gaming point of view, it is revolutionary goodness.
Yeah, this is what people should be doing to make video games. The Wi-Fi system is absolutely amazing. It's using a similar system to the Wii, where you actually have a friend's code that you can give to someone else. So, for argument's sake, say you had a friend who was in Japan. Shut up. You could give them your friend's code, and you could... battle with
them. Did you see the pictures I took the other day?
Stop it.
I took some really nice pictures. Here you go.
Yes, that's very nice, Paul. Can I finish my thing?
See? That's cool, huh? That's a satellite as well.
Just chew on your drumstick. Yeah, that's very nice. Yes, I'll look at your pictures.
There's a planetary nebula there. You saw that. We saw that when we went out.
It's real, Chester.
Yeah, I'm going to have to borrow you later as well to do that.
Right. So they set up this whole system where before the other Pokemon games, you had to go to the Pokemon Center and you could meet up and you connect your cable and yada yada. Because everything's wireless now. You've got upstairs, which allows you to...
Did you see this one? This is Saturn and the Moon.
That's very cool. I like that. Connect yourself to a friend and you can trade your archive of Pokemon you've seen and some other bits and bobs, different types of battling and stuff. But then you can go downstairs and you would be able to battle with someone over Wi-Fi using a router or a hotspot to anywhere else in the world, which is quite cool. And you have a friends list and you can meet up, but it uses the stylus system so that you can actually write to them, and it also allows voice chat through the microphone, which is one of the first games to allow that. So you can chat to someone in another country and then write down stuff and then swap Pokemon and bits and bobs. So the connectivity between people across globe on the DS for this game is absolutely amazing, and more games need to push this sort of technology coded into their games. Game itself, absolutely much better, looks a lot better. The 3D environment, it still seems the same at first glance. When you pay more attention, you realize it actually is 3D. But they've designed it so it looks the same. So you've got the same sort of feel from the original Pokemon, but it just looks crisper, cleaner, brighter. Similar style game. Start off with three choice of Pokemon. Yada, yada, yada. Because it's dual screen, we were a bit curious of what was going to be on the bottom screen. Eventually you get this watch.
A dinosaur.
Nope, you get a watch. And the watch face is on the bottom screen. And you've got a little button which you can click on. And you can look at what time it is, which is running off the internal clock of the DS, which I'll get back to in a minute. A calculator, a full working calculator. How many paces you've done, which you can reset, so you can see how many paces you've walked today when you're playing the game. And all your Pokemon you have on you and their health. But the internal clock basically runs a daylight system and nighttime system. So certain Pokemon will come in and out during the day. Yes, a full working calculator, Chills just asked. It is a full working proper calculator. Don't know why you'd want a calculator, but you've got a calculator. And there's lots of apps for it. You can download from the shop in the game, as you're playing the game, more apps for it. So I don't know what these extra apps are, but there's loads and loads of different programs you can have on your Pokemon Watch, which is on the bottom screen while you're walking around. What else is there? The Pokédex and everything is normal.
What's that?
It's a device that when you go near a Pokemon, it registered all the information about them. But now you can go on there and you get this little daylight system. So you can grab hold of the circle and you move it to the left and it goes morning, and then you've got daytime, noon, and nighttime, and it shows you a map for each Pokemon of where they normally are. This one actually shows you where they are in daytime and where they are in nighttime because they move around during the time.
Okay, as somebody who's never played Pokemon, or watched it, or read it, or whatever it, what the frack is a Pokemon?
Pokemon, the name Pokemon is an abbreviation of what it originally was, which was Pocket Monsters. They are alternate versions of natural animals in the world we have today. So, you know, like, you probably have heard Pikachu loads of times. Well, Pikachu basically is just a mouse that...
I thought it was an electric rat.
Yeah, it's basically an electric rat sort of thing. And there's water rats, and there's cats, and there's dragons, and old fossil dinosaur style what creatures, whales, sharks.
Don't tell a creationist that.
So it's basically animals that you find today, but with weird names, and they've been drawn slightly different and all quirky and stuff. So
sort of about Digimon, that's digital monsters, right?
Yeah.
Is that related to Pokemon?
No, but similar style thing. That was really weird. I'm never going to that.
Okay, so what's the point of the game? What do you do in the game?
The game style is very similar to RPG drop-down of Legend of Zelda. So you're a character and you walk around talking to people.
What, you walk around collecting Pokemon?
Yeah, when you bump into a wild Pokemon, a battle will commence. So it's a bit like how they play Final Fantasy, where you don't know when the battle's going to attack, but you'll get attacked, and you throw the ball out, and a Pokemon jumps out, and then it's all stats. So you tell it what attack to do, and it stats up against another attack. A bit
boring.
Like when you're playing WoW, and it's doing everything, the mechanics, really fast. And then if you get the level low enough, especially on this one, you touch your backpack, you go to a Pokeball, you press use, and you'll throw a Pokeball out, and it will catch the Pokemon and put it inside the ball.
So it's like Super Monkey Ball.
Yeah, they're very
Pokemon,
yeah, he's very small ball. He shrinks them down and they go inside. And then you
How does it shrink them down?
I have no idea. It just sends this electricity out and they go into the ball and the ball shuts. And sometimes they jump back out the ball. It's Japanese, you know, quirky.
I never would have guessed.
But,
do the Pokemon talk?
They make funny noises. In majority of when the cartoon came out, all of the Pokemon basically make the noise of their name. So if you've got a Squirtle, which is a turtle that fires water, all you'll say is Squirtle, 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 Squirtle.
Well, I guess it's better than talking.
Yeah. But as a game, very cool, very connectivity. I'm playing it constantly when I get a chance. But yeah, it is pretty cool. You can send mailbox systems, so you can mail each other to your friends and stuff. So the connectivity is similar as like what it was for Animal Crossing on the DS, but much, much more. So it is quite cool for connecting, making friends, and hooking up, which was always a big thing about Pokemon. It was one of the biggest uses of the connection cable for playing multiplayer with Pokemon on the Game Boy onwards. So
and the Pokemon, and the Pokemon, and the Pokemon.
Oh my god, yeah. But no, I'm fairly impressed with it. I got it imported at a local store in town. It was a very good game. The box is all shiny. I don't know if the UK one will be. When you, if I think if you pre-order it here, you get this Pokemon style stylus. Not that I would ever would want that. That's just weird. Oh, found out that one thing that's interesting, moving away from Pokemon, I would just say one thing, it's very cool, as a Pokemon fan of the games, I must admit, the only thing I like is the video games, I don't like anything else. It's very cool. If you like any of the other ones, you'll love this. Control system, absolutely amazing. One thing that is very cool is that you use the standard buttons with the D-pad to move around, but when you go into a battle and stuff, you'll be completely... You can still use the buttons and move the D-pad to select stuff on the bottom screen, or you just use the stylus and it's all touchscreen. Big, nice button chip for you to hit. Quick actions. Nice. Graphically, brilliant. Sound, really cool. It's new, but still clings to the same way, so it's very cool. I have noticed that if you pre-order Halo 2, you get...
You get a Pokemon for free!
No, you get a copy of Halo on the PC.
Yeah, that's old school.
Well, I should be getting my copy of Halo on the PC.
And you really should have said that when we talked about Halo.
And I was going to, but I forgot. So yeah, Pokemon on the DS coming out soon to UK, already out in America, selling extortionately well in America. It's doing well out there.
Yeah, I bet it is.
So yeah.
The Pokemon.
So I definitely, for a DS game, the quality, the gameplay, with and storyline, the look, feel, and the Wi-Fi connectivity, I will have to give it a 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5, that's a bit rubbish, really, isn't it?
I could give it 5 out of 5, but I was just not pushing the looks. I would give more like Legend of Zelda Hourglass. 5 out of 5.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Right, there's a demo for a Tomb Raider anniversary. On PC land.
Demo?
Yeah.
Demo?
Yeah.
Demo?
Oh, yeah.
Good. Are we going to have the link to it in the show, or is it It's That Cats?
No, we're not going to have the link to it.
Where is it?
That's Catherine's blog. That's not like a download place.
Well, why not? I want to download it.
So yeah, Tomb Raider Anniversary is basically a remake of Tomb Raider 1.
Mm-hmm. Using the engine from the previous Tomb Raider that was just released. Which I had downloaded the demo on the Xbox 360 and I quite liked it. It was nicely done.
It doesn't look as good as Legend, so Catherine says.
But Tomb Raider Legend, the control system was really good. For the first time it felt like you could actually play Tomb Raider without feeling like you're having the sidestep shit fell off something, moving around, trying to turn around. It was good when the day it came out, but the control system, you just never got changed or updated, and always felt really annoying as the games went on, because other games seemed to get better as a third person action game. So no, I'm definitely going to get a copy of this, but there's a demo. You may have to download that.
Yes, if you want to read what Catherine has to say about it, if you go to catmoo.co.uk/blog, the most recent post as of today, 27th, is about Tomb Raider Anniversary.
Now, Kat would like to tell Paul, Paul can tell me where she downloaded it from, or got the demo. I'd like to have a go.
You know how to use Google?
No, I don't.
Yeah, so, you know, it's Tomb Raider.
Tomb Raider, and it'd be my first game I can have a go on and try out my dongle for the Xbox 360 controller.
Yeah, because it's a Games for Windows game as well, isn't it?
Yeah, Games for Windows.
Doesn't support 360 controllers.
That's hard.
So yeah, that's funky.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so also we were going to touch on Half-Life 2 Episode 2.
Yes.
You can download it from GameSpot.
For free, or do you have to be a member of GameSpot?
Well, you have to be a member of GameSpot, but you can join for free. And if it's not on there, it'll be on dozens of other websites.
Cool. Och-gidok. I shall go have a hunt tonight and get a...
Right, Half-Life 2 Episode 2.
Half-Life 2 Episode 2. They've stopped the black box, but we will
You should talk a bit about what it is first. Remember, this is a professional podcast now. We have to be professional.
Okay, I shall start again.
So just imagine you're a BBC journalist.
Half-Life 2.
Reporting on a game.
Half-Life 2, Episode 2. This is Episode 2 of the series of Half-Life.
2.
Half-Life 2 was a sequel to Half-Life after many expansion packs.
After the 1998
and
game
after
of the year.
Half-Life 2, they created...
Which you can check out at halfelifeportal.com.
Yep. And they brought out Episode 1, which was an extra bit of content of storyline for you to play. And now they're releasing Episode 2, which has been long-awaited because of all the extra bits that you get with it, which is going to be very, very juicy. The orange box for Half-Life 2 Episode 2 will contain code for downloading off your Valve Stream thingy codes.
Steam. It's
Steam powered.
They're stuck in the last millennia.
You get Half-Life 2 Episode 2, Half-Life 2 Episode 1, which everyone should probably own by now. A copy of Half-Life 2 in it as well.
Yep.
A copy of Portal, which is a puzzle game where it's using the portal gun, and you create a portal and you fall through and you go to another place and it's all this weird stuff. We did a show on it a while ago. And long awaited, which everybody just wants to buy it for this bit, the multiplayer game Team Fortress 2, which we've touched on many times, which is looking absolutely amazing. For a lot of people on the PC, it's going to be very annoying because most people own Half-Life 2 and own Half-Life 2 Episode 1 and probably going, Portal, yes, I shall play it and then never play it again. I want Team Fortress 2. So for all the people on the Xbox 360, when it comes out for them, they're sorted, you know. I must admit, Xbox 360 is probably going to be one of the good places to buy it just for Team Fortress 2 on Xbox Live. Hopefully it works with Xbox Live and there's no
Well, if it doesn't, then you just play against bots.
Yeah.
Which would be dumb.
Yeah, so I'm sure it's going to be Xbox Live. So, is it a standalone or Steam? They stated that it's Steam, isn't it? Because they were going on about the codes.
You do need Steam installed. They will be doing a retail release. Well, definitely on the consoles, obviously. PC, I imagine they'd have a retail release, and that's why they're doing the big pack.
Yeah, this orange
box. To maximise profits.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because EA is now the distributor.
They haven't stated whether or not all the games come in, or is it like a down? You only get episode 2 and then you download all the other ones off your code.
If they say you have a code for them, then I'm tended to believe. I honestly don't know. So
yeah, we don't know much more details than that, but the orange box that they're going on about will contain episode 2, episode 1, Half-Life 2, Team Fortress, and the puzzle game Paul. We'll say see ya to Mongoose and You Die Too Easily. They're off from the chat room. Catch you guys later. And Chill's going, he'll be back later.
Dude, I think it's just Chill that's going. I think everyone else are just saying bye to him.
Okay. Bye, Chill, and everyone else is still staying here. Sorry, I'm trying to read it fast, but you're typing.
I'm typing down here in this corner.
He's still here. Chill left. Ha ha. Bye.
Ha ha.
Ha ha ha.
To funnies.
Woo woo woo. Cheap. Cheap giggles. I love cheap giggles.
Yeah.
Deadly dude. Silence.
Dude, talk.
Talk. No, we must talk.
Well, I'll talk about something if you want, but it would be political.
Political.
Ooh, Mongoose says we should talk about Call of Duty 4.
Call of Duty 4.
Yeah, have we talked about that before?
No, I must admit, I'm not a big fan of the World
that's,
War.
That's the modern game, I think, now.
Yeah?
Yeah, Mongoose, can you clarify if Call of Duty 4 is a modern shooter now? You've got 10 seconds. you Die Too Easily says we should talk about StarCraft 2.
Brother in Arms is
out. We
on
talked
the
about StarCraft 2 to death.
Yes,
on last week's
episode. But it is looking good. I'm looking forward to it. It was a needed game to come out, but I wish they'd come out with it sooner and there'd be something more exciting coming out. I know that they made an announcement for the multiplayer game that's going to be out on next-gen consoles, which
okay,
would be interesting.
Mongoose says Call of Duty 4 is about America versus Russia plus Middle East. Whatever that means.
Cold War.
Well, no, the Cold War would be cool, but this is just some, you know, modern era piece of crap where everyone has fun from, like, shooting down 50 Arabs with a minigun and all the Arabs have got sticks. Fight someone who can put up a fight, you cowards. Pathetic.
Oh, yeah, one thing we forgot
take
to talk
on
about.
The Red Army in the 1940s.
Halo 3, one thing we forgot to talk about was the whole gun turrets. Now you can rip the gun turrets off their...
Dude, we talked about Halo 3 at the beginning of the show.
I know, but it's cool. You get to rip the gun turrets off and use
it as a
chain gun. You go.
So yeah, one of the new features of Halo 3 is where you had to fix like machine guns. Before you can now rip them off their mounts and carry them around with you.
Arnold Schwarzenegger style with the chain gun.
That was a minigun.
Yeah, I mean, you can. I think it kind of slow you down as well. You're a bit, you're not as fast with it, but it's quite cool.
Chain gun's only a single barrel, isn't it?
Mm, I think so.
I can't remember, I don't know. No, there are some chain guns which would, yeah, a chain gun can be multi-barrel as well.
Yeah.
I don't really know, I just like my rifles. Get a proper gun.
Mm.
Rifle. Okay, or artillery piece.
We're gonna have to have a go at making up a level.
It'll be a box room.
Everyone's facing away from each other. All facing. Everyone's got their head in the corner. You got to turn around and shoot everybody quickly.
Windows Vista.
Windows Vista.
I made a typo there.
Windows Vista blog. Windows the.
Dude.
Sorry, I was yawning. I'm tired.
Oh, what's the damn link?
What is the link?
I'm going to show you some screenshots.
Of what? Ooh. I saw Halo 2 then.
There you go.
Ooh, play Halo 2 for Windows Vista.
See, that's what you get when the window first pops up. So you just click on that, auto-installed in the background while you're playing it.
Install dedicated server for Halo 2, install map editor, custom game install, play. Ooh. That's going to be so good when it comes out. Ooh, what are these ones?
Yeah, that's a screenshot of the select player screen.
That's cool, very similar.
Same sort of style, but looks a lot better.
Mm, a lot more crisp.
Crisp.
Crisp. Do they have pictures of
the actual game?
Oh, that's in-game, isn't it? I thought they were the map builder then.
No, it's none of the actual map builder. That's out the window of Cairo Station.
Oh, that's cool.
Low-res texture attack. That's the guide. This one looks the same as the Xbox, basically, except it's square.
Mm.
And in the middle of the screen.
Obviously it's not running off the blades, because this is not an Xbox.
So there, despite what some people were saying, a lot of people saying Halo 2 doesn't support network play, that's crap. There was one review which, it's some like remote site nobody's ever heard of, and they put up a review of this game, and you know for a fact they don't actually have the game.
Mm.
And they basically said it doesn't have network support or direct IP and all the stuff like that, when yes, it does.
Mm.
Ridiculous. So yeah, that's the title screen.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm liking that. I'm looking forward, it's going to be good.
It's going to be good, it looks the same as Halo 2 that did on the Xbox. I mean, it's high resolution, obviously.
Yeah.
But what, it's a good game.
Great multiplayer. It's going to keep a lot of people happy. Especially with the fact that beta for Halo 3 will be shutting down soon, so keep people...
Did you hear the reason why Halo 2 was delayed?
Yeah, because there was a piece of stupid code that was in there, and unless you connect to the internet and download the patch, it says something rude, or a rude picture comes up of the guy mooning or something like that.
So that's all I've heard. The official Microsoft press release was that there was content in there which boosted the game's rating to an 18.
Mm.
They were basically scared of another, hot coffee happening.
Yeah.
Which was the GTA thing with the GTA man doing his thing.
Yeah. So that had been the reason why it's been put back, because they could fix it, but the people would have the game unfixed beforehand.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is going out unfixed, but all the first batch are having 18 ratings on them.
Ah. Uh-huh. So it's going to be an 18 game.
And then the next shipment will have that removed. So that's how that's working. Because otherwise, I mean, just think about it, it would be a month delay. So you'd have to recall the code, rip it out, remaster it, remanufacture it, and,
So they've held it back for the ability of the patch and the packaging to be changed.
Yeah.
Damn it. I'm going to have to remember my driver's license when I go to buy it. Are you 18, son?
Hang on, I'll just phone my mummy.
I'm not 18.
I'll just phone my mummy, see if I'm allowed to buy it, and tell her to come in and buy it for me. Oh, that's so ridiculous.
What's that?
Catherine says she wants to get hold of the 18 rated version. I don't think it's BBFC rated, I think it's just Peggy.
Peggy. Oh.
But yeah, all this age rating crap needs to stop. It should be voluntary and that's it. The state shouldn't interfere. Unnecessary.
Mm.
It's just, you know, it's just, you know, antique Thatcherite legislation. BBFC should be broken up. Well, no, the BBFC should be broken up. The BBFC should just do films and stuff like that, and Peggy should just be the European-wide rating for games.
Yeah. Damn right.
Yeah, I managed to get politics in there. Stab at the Thatcherites.
Amen, brother.
The neoliberal schematics.
Right. Is that it?
Well, but yeah, that's an hour, so that's a good length of time.
Mm-hmm. Talked about plenty.
Feedback can go to feedback@gamecast.net. Or even better yet, it can be left on the blog at
gamercast.net. The blog?
No, just gamercast.net.
Gamercast.net. Leave feedback on the blog there. And you can chat about stuff and yell at each other at portalforums.net.
Yeah, that's good. Mongoose says 4-year-olds watching porn. Imagine, yay. Well, I think we've got two Americans in the chat room, and I think the Americans would take quite a different position to that, because in the United States there's no law about selling stuff like that to minors.
Well, porn.
Well, not so much porn, but, you know, high rated, like an 18 certificate game.
Yeah, a place wouldn't do it, but
because it's the state is interfering in what's a trivial. It's trivial. Why bother? The state should interfere in something important, like kicking George Bush out. That's an important thing to do. Interfere in that. Don't interfere in what a family wants to do.
Damn right. So.
So yeah, we disagree with you, Mongoose. You've been brought up with your brainwashed stuff, where, you know, a 17-year-old, gee, who cares if he buys an 18-rated game? Who cares? Do you care? No. Do I care? No.
Anybody who thinks
I mean,
that a game
who here played Mortal Kombat as a kid?
I owned Mortal Kombat as a kid.
I owned Mortal Kombat as a kid. Did it wreck us? No. We're perfectly sensible people who don't go around killing loads of people.
Hmm.
Unless it's in a computer game.
I've been brought up with senseless violence in video
Doom.
Games.
I was 10 or 12 when I had Doom.
Just because graphics look better and it's more gory and it doesn't mean it's any realer.
You know, it's good that Windows Vista and like Xbox 360 have parental control, so parents can decide what is what.
Yeah, because a parent has the right to say their child shouldn't look at this.
You know, the state shouldn't say, oh, blanket ban on anyone buying this below that age. It's ridiculous. Totally unnecessary.
If you don't want your kid playing video games and you think they're bad for the hand, then don't buy them a console.
Yeah, don't give them any money to buy them stuff.
I have never been bought a games console in my entire life. I've bought every single one of them myself since the age of, like, 13 or 12.
I was bought a Spectrum 10 years after.
Actually,
it came out for 50 quid.
I got the Commodore C64 and that was it.
The C64.
Rocked. Tape. You could load a game and go have dinner and it'd be waiting there ready with the start button as soon as you got back.
Hopefully it didn't screw up.
Yeah.
I had to do it again.
I ended up having this little book of mine that I made, and I had loads of tapes that had lots of games on, and I would find out where it stopped when because it would all of a sudden stop playing when it had loaded the game, and I'd press stop and write down the counter so I could fast forward to that part of the counter and load the next game without having, because before I had to load the first game, let the tape stop, press stop, then turn the console off, turn it back on again, and then load the game from there to get the second game.
With the Spectrum, I used to draw a line on the tape where the break was. Because there was no counter or anything. So drawing a line. It's about there, and it's about there. And hopefully these things don't move around too much.
Yeah. I luckily had a counter. Then I got a B drive, floppy discs. I had Stealth Fighter.
Well, the 5 1/4 inch ones.
Yeah. I had Stealth Fighter, Apache Gunship, and some weird game that was like Egyptian something or other, which I never played on.
Yeah, screw that. F-16 fired down the spectrum. Couldn't break out of fire. Well, I could break out of fire, I couldn't break out of land.
And he says unplanned pregnancy happens here, happens a lot here as well.
What the hell are they talking about?
Don't know. I'm scared. Can we leave them to talk about this and I can go?
Yeah, let's just close the show because that's getting really weird.
Yeah. Okay.
We will see everyone next week on episode 74.
Yep.
Where we will be talking about something.
Something.
We don't know yet.
Don't know if I'm going to be going out and buying Lara Croft straight away. I might leave it until after.
Well, yeah, we might have like a Catherine review, I suppose.
Yeah, if Catherine's going to go out and buy it, it would be nice to have a review. I want to buy it, but money is a bit tight at the moment. I'm saving up for Halo 2. So we'll be waiting for Halo 2 to come out and then we'll be getting a major good review for that.
Catherine says she is buying it.
Cool.
So I'm hoping she's buying it on the Friday, which she did say she was, so we might have a review in time for Sunday. Woo.
I shall try and play the demo and give a bit of a sidebar of how I think about it, if I get a chance. So that's it. My voice is killing over. I'm going to go get back in bed. And I shall see you next week. Laters.